Joshua.
Book of Joshua, chapter 1. This will be about overcoming fear, being unafraid to do God's will. At our family camp last week, all the teachings were about believing. How to believe. Doug taught on renewing of the mind. I taught on that you're righteous now by believing. He taught about the name of Jesus Christ and believing in his name. They were teaching us on being complete in him, in Christ, that God rescued us. The counsel of the Lord, receiving God's wisdom. And Kip Ferguson taught on overcoming fear. And I'm not going to teach it the same way that he did. It's the same topic, but there's so many places in the Word of God to help us to not be afraid of the things of life, and especially not to be afraid to do the will of God. That's where it's really important. If you're afraid to do something that God wants you to do, you need to overcome that fear. Because what's our life all about? It's not trying to get God to do our will or get other people to do our will. It's us endeavoring to do God's will. And we know God's will from his word and from the things that he tells us. Now, Joshua was Moses' right-hand man all through those 40 years. When there was a battle to fight, Joshua was the general of the army. When Moses was in the tabernacle, Joshua was at the door. You know, when Moses went up the mountain, you know, Joshua went with him. He was his personal assistant. And before Moses fell asleep, God had Moses lay his hands upon Joshua so that the Spirit of God went upon him. And everybody knew that Joshua would be the one to lead the people into the promised land. That's a big job to do. And he witnessed how difficult it was for Moses to deal with these people during those 40 years. It's like he had to drag them kicking and screaming out of Egypt. And then when it came to entering the promised land, they didn't do it because they were afraid. They were afraid of the people that were there. They were afraid that they would be killed and that their wives and children would be captured by these other people. And God got very frustrated with them. And that's why they were in the wilderness for 40 years, because they refused to go in the promised land. But now that 40 years is over, and Joshua has the job of leading the people and fighting the battles. Verse 1 of Joshua 1 says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, his servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead." He had to face that hard reality. Moses was always there every day, and Joshua relied upon Moses' relationship with God. But now Moses is dead. So he has to have that relationship with God. God's going to talk to him, and he's talking to him now. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." So now it's time to take action. They'd been mourning for Moses for 30 days. They mourned for Moses, but now it's time to take action. And that's necessary when it comes to overcoming fear. You have to act. You can't sit and stew about it and say, "I'm afraid to do that. What? Maybe there's another way I can work around it, you know? Maybe I have a better idea that won't be so scary to me." But he had to take these people across the Jordan River and fight the battles. And the people were going to fight back, right? They're not just going to say, "Okay, come on in, we'll move out, we'll find another place to live." They're going to try to kill him and defend their land. But verse 3 said, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." They had a promise from God. Joshua had a promise from God. Now it's up to him to believe it. God gives the promise, and he put in the past tense what was still future. And when God does that and say, "I have given you every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon," that's a very firm promise. So I've already done this for you. Now it's up to you. You have to believe that, and you have to act on what I tell you. And he told them what the territory was going to be in verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, that's the west coast, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. He was already over 80 years old. So however many days he had left, he said, there will not be a man to stand against you. They won't be able to. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. He had a great example. I will not fail thee, means I won't be unable to do what I promised, nor forsake thee. I will never leave you. I'll always be here. Verse 6 says, be strong and of a good courage. That was Joshua's thing to do. It takes a decision to be strong and to be courageous. He's telling them to do it. You be strong and you be courageous. You're ready, you're alert, you're expecting good. You're not in a state of impending doom. How many people are in a state of impending doom all the time thinking, oh, something bad is going to happen? He said, no, you be strong. And you be of good courage. You expect everything I told you to come to pass. And you be strong to carry it out. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto your fathers to give them. I swore to them. He said, I cannot go back on my promise. It must come to pass. I cannot not do what I said I was going to do. Only you, Joshua, be thou strong and very courageous. Now he just told that to him, right? He needed to hear it again. You be strong and very courageous. And he's going to tell him something has to be courageous to do. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the what? All the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So Joshua, you need to not only do the things that I specifically tell you day by day, you need to do everything I've told everybody else to do. You're going to lead the way with this. You're going to uphold the law. You're going to obey the law yourself. You will do everything that I've told everybody to do and the things that I tell you specifically to do. Okay? So he had the written word that Moses had written down that came by the Spirit of God, and he has the things that will come specific direction by the Spirit of God. The written word, the Spirit. Hey, we have that too. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory, and we have the written word. Verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. And that sounds a little strange, as if you'll never speak it. But it means you'll never stop speaking it. There should never be a time that you're not speaking the word of God. That's what he's saying here. The words will come out of his mouth. But he won't be talking about other stuff. He'll always be speaking God's word, the things that are written. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That means you're going to be speaking it to yourself. So when you're alone, when you're quiet, when there's nothing else that you have to do, what are you going to talk to yourself about? The word of God. Not how awful you feel about your aches and your pains and all the things. Not all the bad things that could happen. Not all the things that you might be afraid of. Well, what if the Hittites have cannons, you know? What if the Jebusites don't want to give up their stronghold? He could be thinking about these things. And these people, oh God, they're so complaining night and day. No, speak the word. Meditate on the word. That means he's going to have to memorize a lot of it so that he can speak it to himself when he doesn't have the book open in front of him. So he's going to have to read it. He's going to have to memorize certain sections of it and be speaking it to himself day and night. That's all the time. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. There's a lot of details in the law. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. He gave them the word to help them, not to restrict them, not to keep them from having fun. He gave them the word to help them so he would know what to do. And all the people would know what to do, what the will of God was. They would have that wisdom. And then they'd have good success. Verse 9 says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not what?
Afraid.
Don't be afraid. Now, one of the great things in law was to fear the Lord thy God, so that you're not afraid of anybody else or anything else. Do not be afraid, neither be thou dismayed. to be dismayed is to want to give up and say, I can't handle it. It's too big for me, too much for me. He said, don't go there. Don't say those words. You just say, I believe God. God's going to do what he said he's going to do. I'm going to do what God told me to do. And I'm going to help everybody else. He's going to be the leader. You cannot take the time to be afraid. It's a choice. You decide whether you're going to be afraid or whether you're going to believe. If you think you don't have a choice, well, you're just not believing what God says. If you think that you have no choice than to be afraid of something, read the Word of God. Get it in your head. Get it in your heart. Speak it to yourself. Stop speaking to yourself words that scare you, because that's what happens, right? You say, oh my God. Something happens. You get startled. Oh. And then if you don't control your mind, it will, within seconds, paint the worst scenario for you. And then you have to decide, I'm not going to think that. I'm not going to say those words. You do not have to repeat every word that comes into your head. You do not have to dwell on every picture that comes into your mind. You don't have to. And you don't have to be a slave to your feelings. That is the hardest thing for people to get, is that you do not have to be afraid of what you're going to feel like. And that's what trips people up many times, is how they feel or how they think they're going to feel. Just say, so what? I've felt all these things before and I've lived. Right? And you say, oh, I never want to go through that again. Well, what if you do? What if God tells you to do something and maybe you feel nervous? It doesn't mean that you can't feel nervous. To be afraid would be to decide not to do what God says to do because you think you can't do it, or you think something bad will happen or something like that, or you think I might get embarrassed, or I might feel uncomfortable, or it might be awkward. How many people are talked out of doing the right thing just because, oh, it might be awkward, or I might be uncomfortable, or it might inconvenience me? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Why? For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. He's always going to be there. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. You can read the rest of the story. God did what God told them, and they conquered the land. Many years later, the book of Proverbs was written. There's some great promises in Proverbs to help overcome fear. Look at verse 24. Proverbs 3:24 says, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Many times the fears that people have get to them at night when they're not busy and distracted or not doing work or have things going on, but you're quiet. And then that's sometimes what people, and it keeps them up at night, the things that they're afraid of, right? And this says, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down and thy sleep shall be sweet. Well, there's things that go before this that will help you to get to that state if you're not already there. Go to the beginning of the chapter where it says, my son, forget not my law. Remember, God told Joshua, you be strong and courageous to do all the law, right? Proverbs was written in the time that the law was in effect. We happen to live in a time that the law has been fulfilled. We're not under the Old Testament law, but we still have commandments. We do. If you hold your finger here and just take a quick peek at 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, says, and this is his commandment. This is written to people that believe in Jesus Christ, like we do, right? After Jesus Christ had completed the law, died, was raised from the dead, we believed in him, we got the Spirit of God, we have commandments. It says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Doesn't sound that hard, does it? It's not supposed to be hard. This is what God wants us to do. He wants us to believe everything that there is to believe about the name of Jesus Christ, okay? And how we are identified in his name. And he wants us to love one another as he gave us commandment. And he's talking about at the Last Supper when he said, I want you to love one another the way I love you, giving my life for you. He wants us to love each other that there would be nothing that you wouldn't do for a fellow believer. Why? Just because they believe in Christ like you do. This is a person that has eternal life. This is a person that Jesus Christ gave his life for, shed his blood for. And that's enough reason to want to love that person the way Christ loves them and the way Christ loves you. Okay? We always want to remember, if it's a believer, Jesus Christ died for that person like he did for you. They've been forgiven of their sins like you've been forgiven of their sins. And if they have needs, well, you can serve your Lord Jesus Christ by helping another believer, because he's the head of our body. We're all connected. So, back to Proverbs. When you think about the commandments, there were commandments to Israel at the time, but there's commandments to us today. So, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Because everything God tells us to do is for our own benefit. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Mercy. God has mercy on us to forgive us our sins, to heal us, to help us in whatever we need. And we have mercy on others to forgive them for anything that they've done against us, to heal and to help others, right? Always have them with mercy and truth. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. And you do that by memorizing the key verses, the key scriptures, the things that you need to know to remind yourself so that you can talk to yourself all the time like Joshua was told to do. Verse 4 says, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man too. Especially those that believe in God will appreciate others that believe in God. Those that believe in God and believe his word, they love to have others that believe the same thing with all their heart, so we can support each other and stand with each other and help each other. Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. We believe in him. We rely upon God with all our heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. Okay? Don't lean to your own understanding. Always do it God's way, even if you have what seems to be like a better idea. There's never going to be a better plan than what God tells you to do. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, under the law, you could acknowledge God in all your ways because it covered everything that you're supposed to do, what you're supposed to eat, what you're not supposed to eat, what you're supposed to wear, what you're not supposed to wear, what to do on a weekly basis, on an annual basis. There were things covering all the circumstances of life. We can learn from a lot of those things, right? But our commandments are to believe in the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another. Now, in all thy ways acknowledge him. We have the Spirit of God. Not everybody had the Spirit of God in Old Testament times. The prophets did, right? Moses did, Joshua did, Solomon, David, Samuel, Isaiah, Jeremiah. But most of the people relied upon the written word to know what the will of God was, or the words of a man of God, a prophet, that could tell them what God had for them right now. So that they were supposed to pay attention to a man of God and listen to what he said and do what he said. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So we will acknowledge God by reading the words, especially what's addressed to us in the epistles of Paul, epistles of Peter, epistles of John. Those are addressed to those that believe in Jesus Christ, and we need to pay special attention to those things. And having the Spirit of God, you know, God tells you to buy a book and give it to somebody, you do it, right? God tells you to help that person, talk to that person. If God tells you to shut up, you shut up. God tells you to leave the house, leave that. You know, there are many times God just, you know, we'll leave it to you to make your decisions. But when he talks to you, and it might be in response to a question that you have, God, what do I do? He will tell you, okay? Or God might have to get your attention at other times. You don't have a question for him, but he still has something that you need to know and you need to do. So you need to always be ready to listen and hear from God. That's vital. And that's what this is saying. Always be ready and always acknowledge him. And verse 7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So when God does tell you something, do that. Okay? If you know you have an answer from God, do that. If you see something in the Word of God that applies to your situation, do that. Okay? And you say, well, if I do that, well, this might happen. Do it anyway. It says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Fear the Lord. That doesn't mean do it or God's going to get you. that fear of the Lord means God is bigger to you than anything else, more important to you than anything else, mightier than you or anybody else are, wiser than you or anybody else could be. When you really understand the fear of the Lord, and it takes time to develop this, it takes time reading the Word and thinking about God and asking God to open things up to you. When you have this fear of God, this good fear, where God is bigger than anything else, then any decision you have in life, all you need to know is what is the will of God. And that's the only reason you need to do anything. It doesn't have to make financial sense, because God would tell you to do something that you might say, well, if I do that, I'll come out behind instead of ahead. Or God might tell you to do something that will make you feel uncomfortable in the short term, but still be necessary for you to do. God told the apostles to do things that got them physically beat and injured and people going after them. But did God rescue them out of those situations? Yeah, he did. Whatever God tells you to do, it's worth it. Jesus Christ had to go through horrible things, but was it worth it for him? As well as for all of us. So glad that Jesus Christ was not a slave to his emotions. He had the emotions. It's not like he didn't feel anything. He felt everything. Was he a little nervous about going through it? Said he was sweating blood. Yeah. And yet, all he needed to do was determine that this is the will of God for him, and that's all he needed to help, to decide to do it. And God gave him all the encouragement and strength that he needed, but he still needed to decide to do it. And it turned out well. It looked bad in the short term, being physically nailed to a piece of wood and everybody laughing at him and saying, you call yourself the Son of God. Why don't you come down from there? When he's hurting like that and dying like that, and he's saying, God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But he knew that he was going to die and that God would raise him from the dead. And that everything God had would be his. Anyway, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, make God big, and then depart from evil. Anything that's not the will of God, that's evil, that's all. It doesn't mean it has to be like actively mean and nasty and sneaky. Evil just means it's not good, right? If it's not the will of God, leave it alone. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. It won't be bad for you, it'll be good for you. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. You get a paycheck, you honor God. Give him a tenth. It's worth it. Those of us that have done it all our lives, we can tell you. That's the key to having real wealth. It's not saving every penny. It's giving the appropriate amount in the right place, in the right way, and listening to God and trusting in him. We must have given away tens of thousands of dollars through the years, but we're much richer for having done it. It says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. If you try to hold on to everything, you won't have the barns filled. It works this way because God is able to take the little that you have and multiply it. We've seen him do it time after time after time after time. We've seen God do amazing things for us that we could never have planned on, that we couldn't have figured out, we couldn't have engineered. God's done these things for us, and our barns are filled with plenty. The presses burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. And if God reproves you, it's never pleasant to get reproof. It's like you get embarrassed, you get hurt, you might get angry. But don't despise it. If God reproves you from his word, then be thankful. Be thankful that God loves you enough to care for you, to let you know that's not the right way to believe. This is the right way to believe. Get back to this way. Verse 12 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. If he didn't love you, he'd just write you off and say, okay, go your own way. And he's had to do that for people that don't love him, for people that don't want his will. God only reproves and corrects people that want to do his will, you see. The rest of the world, they have an invitation to be a child of God and to join him. Once you're a child of God, then you get plenty of reproof and correction. The ones on the outside, it says, you know, God's given them up into vile affections and things like that. Those that don't want to walk with him, he doesn't force them. He doesn't bug him. He doesn't nag him. But he'll welcome them if they turn to him. And that turning to him might be because someone like you tells them about God and how wonderful it is to walk with God. Verse 13 says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Let me tell you, wisdom is always, what does God want you to do? Wisdom is not necessarily just a clever idea or a witty invention. Wisdom is, this is God's will for you to do. This is what God wants you to do. And he'll tell you. And if you find that wisdom, you're happy. You're blessed. You get understanding. When you do what God tells you, usually the understanding comes after you do it. And you say, oh, that's why God wanted me to do that. If God says go there and you don't go there, then you never get what the next step is going to be, right? But if you go there and then God tells you, okay, now that you're here, do this, okay? And then you do that, and then you see how blessed you are and how blessed somebody else is afterwards, then the understanding comes, oh, okay, now I get it. You don't have to understand everything beforehand. You understand it afterwards. For the merchandise of it, that's wisdom, the wisdom of God, is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. So if you have a choice of doing something that God said or doing something that will make you more money, what's the better choice? Do what God says to do. She, wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not even to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. One source of all these good things, and if you just go for the long life, or you just go for the riches, or you just go for the honor, you miss out on the whole package. That's only a tiny bit. And if you try to get that on your own instead of God's way, it's not going to be that great. It's going to be disappointing. But God never disappoints. Length of days is in the right hand of wisdom, and in the left hand of wisdom, riches and honor. Her ways, the ways of wisdom, are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. If it looks scary before you try it, just do it anyway, and you'll find out that, oh, this is the peaceful and good way. She's a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down their dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. And this is all building up to overcoming fear. Okay? If you seek God's wisdom, you find God's wisdom, you keep God's wisdom, you act on God's wisdom, on what the will of God is, then, verse 23, thou shalt walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. If you're trying to figure it out on your own all the time, and not listening to God, and say, okay, God said this, but let me try it this way instead, you're going to stumble. You're not going to be safe. The safety comes from God telling you what to do and you doing what God says. God will protect you as you do it, see? Anything else, and trying to get God to cover you while you do what you want to do, it's not a solid prayer. You might say, okay, God, I'm going to do this. I know you said to do that, but I'm going to do this. But help me out here, okay? God's not our servant. You know, he's not like the genie in the magic lamp that gives you three wishes. God is the God who created everything, and we're supposed to do what he says. That's the whole thing. We do what he says. Then you're going to walk safely. Then your foot shall not stumble. Then when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Why? Because you know you're doing God's will. And he's always going to cover you when you're doing his will. And if you go against God's will, then what do you do? Well, you hear the reproof. Because God will let you know. If you love God and you do something that's wrong, he'll tell you. You'll read the word and you'll say, yeah, I should have done that instead of this. God, help me out here. What do I do now? And then we'll give you the correction. Just come on back here. And now do this, okay? He won't abandon you. And then verse 25 says, be not afraid of sudden fear. Sometimes you feel afraid. You get startled. But you can decide not to be afraid. Just because a feeling of fear, okay, a feeling of panic, a feeling of... you get startled, you can still decide, I'm not going to be afraid, even though I happen to feel this way at the moment, okay? That will help you. Like when you feel anxiety, don't be afraid of the feeling. The feeling will pass. But you say, I'm not going to be afraid, I'm going to trust God. You don't be afraid of sudden fear. And neither the desolation of the wicked when it comes, when you see bad things happen to other people that don't love God. Don't let it freak you out. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and he shall keep thy foot from being taken. Okay? So we're going to end there. That's far enough. But that's a lot of good counsel of God and advice.
Very good.
That will help us all in the situations that we face. Okay? So God, we thank you for being so loving and kind and so wonderful to us. And that we, these little people here on this planet that you made, we get to call you our daddy. And know that you care about us and know that you have saved our lives and we're going to live forever and that we're going to make it through this life victoriously and not beaten up. We're not among those whose lives end in tragedy. That's not something that we're facing. But we have your salvation. We've been rescued by you and we have your promises that we rely upon and that we stand upon. And we thank you that you are that good. That you are that wise, that you are that strong, and that you've made us to be like you. You've given us your word and you've given us your spirit so that we can walk with you and we can be like Jesus Christ because you and he live within us. And we thank you in his great and wonderful name. Amen.